Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Ladies Man and Sean Sports Radio Network, because little did we know that my esteemed colleague Seth Kamens has plans every night this week, and he has no time for the rudimentary things such as life. I mean, it's hard to be a socialist, Seth Kamens. It's
really hard to have
such a social life that you have. I mean, we should all be so lucky to have such a grandiose social life that we don't have time for anything else.
It's hard out here for a pimp. I thought you liked that.
Pimping made easy. Now, we do understand that Seth is in his office probably for the last time for the show. But he's also on speakerphone, which makes it very hard for us to hear him.
Okay.
So perhaps I'll pick up the phone.
On that subtle note, I am off of speakerphone.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. That's excellent.
Okay.
So just to give you all a little summary of what's going on in the next couple of weeks. Today is the last day that Seth will have this show in his office. I believe.
I don't know. We actually don't know about that.
We do know that today will likely be the last time that I will have this show in my apartment.
Next week, we
take the show on the road. We will be hosting the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show from Livingston, New Jersey, in the Man Cave at the Scowrick residence. Kevin Scowrick going to be our co-host for the day, talking fantasy football. That'll be next week. Just for those who care,
actually, Kevin is married to my cousin, which is how actually Sean and I know each other.
For better or for worse, Kevin and Blair
at least is responsible for this. You can send all angry emails to. Well, no, I'm not going to give out our email address on the phone because that would just be silly.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, so that's next week. Fantasy football preview will be next week. The week after, which I will not be in attendance because I'll be in Dallas, Texas, getting my knees looked at. Seth will be running the college football preview by himself or with some other colleague.
I will be bringing in Mr. Nabate Isles.
Nice. So I don't have to talk to him about college football.
No, you will not have to bring up the Oregon Ducks ever again. And for all those last year, you can go on our archive.
The greatest game ever played.
I groan at the thought. But
the game of the century.
For the week, for the month, for the year. So that will be August 27th. And then September 3rd, actually, we're going to have to, and I've talked to you about this, we're going to have to either tape it another day or we'll do it another day. I have a buddy coming in from Africa, actually, on September 3rd. So that will be the big two-hour, three-hour, four-hour pro football preview. And
does your buddy kick? Did he kick for a professional football team like Hobbit?
No, he's actually from Bethesda, Maryland, from Rockville, Maryland. He just has been in Africa for the last 3 months. He can kick a soccer ball pretty well. But I don't think he is going to be the new kicker for the Lions.
His name is not Hobbit.
No, his name is not Hobbit. For those of you who don't have the slightest idea what we're talking about, go on YouTube and find the link for this kicker from Norway called Hovud. And he actually – Sean showed this to me, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to watch 3 minutes of a kicker. But it's pretty cool. And he actually got a tryout with the Lions, and he hit a 49 and a 50-yard field goal against Sean's beloved Jets.
J-E-T-S, Jets. Which I'm already saying just end the season.
L-A-S-T, last.
We may not be last. I mean, we do.
You may not. You may be in third. It will be a tough call to see what happens.
I would like to go 4-12, please.
you're smelling what the clowny is cooking?
Actually, I'd like to go 1-15, but that's not happening. So,
no,
I'd like to go 4-12. No, but we'll talk about that the week of September 3rd. We don't have a definitive date on that show, but we'll keep you abreast of that next week. This week we're talking. Well, we'll get into this in a little bit after we go through the week in sports, but we're going to talk about heroes and villains in sports. Now, we do understand that this is the dog days of summer, which means Seth has fallen into disinterest with my beloved pastime, baseball, and America's pastime, baseball.
As opposed to the British pastime, the English Premier League, which starts on Saturday. Woohoo! Sorry,
well, let me ask you something. Let's bring that to the forefront. And we'll start with soccer again, because I think it's kind of important.
I'll tell you,
I think this part is important. You haven't even heard what I'm talking about, and you're already laughing at me.
I'm just laughing that a guy who barely watches soccer has started, not me, him, has started four times in a row, has started with soccer.
And you know why? Because each time, it has been for something different. True?
Yes.
Each time it's been for something. First of all, I didn't start with soccer all four times. I believe I started with tennis the first time. And then I went to soccer the last two. Clint Dempsey
if anybody
last
wants
week,
to call in,
to
if I should say, we haven't been promoting people calling in as much as we probably should. If people would like to call in on something along these lines, whether we want to talk soccer, baseball, tennis, whatever, 760-283-0846. Always welcome to have your calls. So, I'm sorry, continue, please.
And I do give you some credit because you put baseball in there second. You didn't just go soccer, tennis. So,
well, that would be my preference, but understood.
Right, I understand. Well, let's go to soccer because that's your preference. So, next week, or this week, starts EPL, right? EPL starts
mm-hmm.
this week, if
yes.
I'm correct. And EPL is no longer on Fox.
No.
Right?
It is now on NBC.
Okay. Now, as a follower, and we both read Richard Deitch's column on CNNSI, which I think is probably taken
best
over for
writing.
Me. As
best
my
sports
best,
writing out there.
My favorite column of the week. I think it's better than Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback now. I do not
I can't follow the new Peter King, the website.
Yeah, I'm not not a big fan.
Way too convoluted
it's not,
for me.
Agreed. So we got Richard Deitch's column, and he goes into some detail over the last couple of weeks as to the transition between transition from Fox to NBC. Do you see any problems with this working out? Do you see any kinks in the armor? I mean, you follow it more than I do. You obviously watched a lot of Fox over the last couple of years. I know Fox Sports heavily promoted the EPL. And now I look in Times Square and there's a big, big bulletin board, or poster board, whatever, board of Barclays on NBC Sports. Do you see any difficulty in transition here?
No, I think the interesting thought will be this is the first time you're really going to see soccer pretty consistently on one of the non-cable channels. You're going to see a weekly game on NBC. Every game is televised, whether it's NBC, NBC Sports, whatever, or there's, a pay-per-view package you can buy. I'm a little surprised they're going with a British host, a British female host in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see a major problem. If you enjoy it, you're going to watch. If you don't, you're not. It's – you know, there's not a real middle ground for soccer in the United States. Either people love it or they hate it or they don't care. There's no like, well, I'll watch it sometimes. I won't watch it some other times. You know, that's just it has a more devout following. It's just a much smaller following. And potentially with now ESPN has a half hour show every day about it. Fox Sports is actually going to have one as well. With their new channel coming out on Saturday. And NBC is heavily promoting it. So if it's not going to work now, it's never going to work. So
well,
that's,
they got some time for this to work. I mean, this is not a one-year deal by any stretch.
Right, I understand.
It's not a one-year commitment.
No, it's a huge commitment. But I'm saying if it doesn't work through this contract year, like if the EPL doesn't get the growth that it's looking for over the next 3, 4, 5 years with NBC promoting it, it's never going to happen.
Oh, I agree with you. But I think that also comes, and we touched upon this a couple of weeks ago, in the fact that there are just way too, I mean, I won't say way too many because they haven't been there yet. But I think by the end of next year, you're going to see way too many sports channels. Way too. I mean, you're going to get the ESPN, the Ocho. I have no doubt that it, within our lifetime, the Ocho with Justin Bateman is going to happen.
You think? Maybe we can get jobs there.
Yes, that would be awesome. We'll do dodgeball. But the fact is, there is such a need for live programming on these sports channels that everything is going to be covered. And you just can't devote that much time. I mean, you the biggest, I would say you're one of the biggest soccer fans if you took a poll in this country. Okay? You're not to the maniac level. You're not to the fanatic level.
No, not
even
close.
But you are, you're going to tune into games and want mm-hmm. to tune into games. Like, it's not mm-hmm. it's not casual. How much soccer do you think you're going to watch on a given week?
A few hours. For me, it also depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. See, the difficulty for me with it is it goes against college football. And college football is my favorite sport to watch. So, it's more in the winter when it's before college basketball is really hitting. It's before, you know, I'm not a huge watching pro basketball guy until the playoffs. Baseball, I don't care about. So, you know, watching in April and May, but I would prefer to be playing sports during that point. There are games that I make myself watch, and but the nice thing about soccer is it's the kind of thing I can do work in front of. For most of you who know me, despite the hours and hours and hours of preparation I put in for this radio show, I do run a CPA and a financial advisory practice. So in addition to backsportspage.com, I'm a little bit busy sometimes. Well, not always in the middle of August. But so there are times I work a lot of weekends from my apartment. And to me, soccer is one of those great things you can kind of have on in the background. I'm not getting up at 7 a.m. to go to Legends to watch – you know, to watch a game, to watch Swansea versus Wigan. It ain't going to happen.
No, but you're making my point in that you're going to watch maybe a game a week.
Yeah.
I mean, four hours, right? Whether it be one game or four games, you're still going to watch probably 4 hours a week, maybe even less than that.
Less than that. I'll probably watch a game, and I usually watch the review shows.
There's going to be soccer on 10 hours a day.
Yeah,
on some channel.
The only thing I can watch 10 hours a day of, the only sport I can watch is college football.
Right, but how? Not only is that too much for you, Seth, I'm saying, is that too much for the market? I mean, you're asking for the market to increase in watching soccer, but there's a concept,
at least there's
a concept in chemistry called supersaturation of a market.
Is this super saturation
putting every single game on? It's kind of like the Olympics, but the Olympics is only 2 weeks long.
It's what's happened with me in college basketball. I was for years, college basketball was my favorite sport, and I would watch the Saturday games on CBS and the Sunday game on ABC, and it was great. And then occasionally ESPN would have Big Ten ACC Wednesday, so I watched the ACC game. Now you have college basketball on 6 days a week. It's too much. I can't watch it. I don't want to watch it. I like having a life. The reason I love college football.
And you have such a social life.
Well, that's fine. Hopefully they can become clients as well. But the reason I love college football is because for all intents and purposes, it's Saturday. That's it. So I go play tennis at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I come back, and I sit on my deck, and I open a beer, and I do some work, and I put on a football game. And, you know, maybe I, to me that's a great day. And I don't have to watch Monday, you know, I don't want to watch Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night. You know, I don't watch Monday night football a lot of times in the NFL, and I'm a big, look, I like the NFL a lot. But I love college. I like the NFL. By Sunday 4 o'clock, Sunday 7 o'clock, I'm pretty much done.
You know, well, and that's what I'm trying to say. Is this
well, that's what I'm saying.
Soccer?
Yeah. I am not a fan of soccer to that point. And there are very few people that are. But remember, these games are being televised. There's only one game a week, I believe, televised on NBC. Everything else is on the secondary or the secondary channels.
Right.
So that's fine. You know, if you have a soccer channel, you might as well put the biggest league in the world on it. So I don't know if they overpaid. I don't remember what the numbers were.
No, I wasn't looking for payment. I was looking for can they – you said that in the next 5 years they have to reach certain numbers. And those numbers are ambiguous and they're vague, and it really doesn't matter to you and I as to what that number is. But is it even possible to reach those numbers? Given the fact that you may tune into the Fulham game this week and may not tune in again until 2 weeks from now, but there's games on every single day.
Well, usually what you're going to do is you're going to watch either your team or you're going to watch the great games.
But you're in the EPL. You don't have many teams that are your team in the United States.
I have two or three teams that I root for.
You do?
Yes, I do.
That's what I'm saying. The casual fan does not have – I would not have a team.
No. The casual fan will watch –
I have a hockey team.
Yeah, I guess they are still a professional hockey team, aren't they?
I'm just saying, the casual fan – well, okay, thanks for the dig. You got it in. The casual fan has a hockey team. The casual fan has a baseball team. The casual fan has a football team. Even if they're not big fans – Every person I know, if you say, are you a Jets or a Giants fan, they'll say one or the other, or they'll say where they were from. And that doesn't mean that they go to every game. That doesn't mean that they watch every game, but they have a team. If you ask me, well, who's your EPL team? I know maybe three teams in the whole EPL to begin with. None of them, I would say, are my team. I'm not going to root for any of them. I'm just going to sit down and watch a game. And I think that's the hard part dealing with the EPL in the U.S., I think the more times that there are loans from MLS to the EPL, that will enhance the sport in the U.S. So Clint Dempsey just signed the three-and-a-half-year, I think it was $38 million contract with the Seattle Sounders, has one loan in his contract. So once he goes back to Fulham or somebody like that, the Seattle fans will say, hey, our team is Fulham. So they start watching. But until that time, I don't think you have the my team for the casual fan. Just don't.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's very hard, you know, unless you're, you know, and I kind of fell for soccer when I backpacked through Europe in 98 with the World Cup. The World Cup was there. And that and being stuck in Washington, D.C., in the days before you could watch 10 games at once. And I remember I was watching a Redskins-Bears game, and it may have been the most boring thing on the face of the earth. And I just started changing channels and kind of ended up watching a Man United-Newcastle game, and it was much more interesting. And to be fair, the Redskins haven't gotten much more – until last year weren't much more interesting in the 10 years that followed that. So since that was kind of how my soccer grew in, I think – sorry about that. I just actually lost my train of thought. Sorry. Someone came into my office. And if nothing, we exude professionalism on Backsports page.
Should we start playing that like seductive music? Somebody just came in your office.
It's a 26-year-old guy. Probably not.
Anyway.
And on that note.
So we got through the EPL. 15 minutes on the EPL. Just like to point that out. Sean,
and we actually didn't talk, we didn't actually say a single thing about the LPL, about the EPL.
No, because the EPL isn't going on yet.
There
you
go. Who
do you think's going to win the EPL this week?
I will save that for my end of year, my end of show.
Okay. That's fair. Let me ask you this. So this week in the golf, which we refer to the golf.
In the golf?
In the golf.
Okay.
In the golf. Tiger Woods did not golf so well. I mean, he has definitely stumbled. Do you think he has any shot of beating Jack's number at this point?
Any shot? I think he's going to play for another 15 years. Of course he's got a shot.
Okay,
do you think he's going to do it? No. I think he'll win two or three more. I think he'll plateau at about 16 or 17. I mean, he's only 36 years old. And as someone who's 37, I guess, I can kind of say that. I can say that with some certainty.
You're losing your train of thought really easily today.
Yeah, it's been one of those days. Sorry for
the millions of people. He's been too concentrated on his social life. I get it.
Yeah.
Totally get it. But that brings up another point that we were going to get to.
Do you need a social life?
No. Well, that's true. But I need an apartment first.
That is true.
Let's hit the apartment. So here's the question I have. So we started the show talking about heroes versus villains in sports. And I think Tiger's one of those guys that went from hero to villain very quickly. A lot of it had to do with his divorce and all the stuff that came out. Does he deserve the villainous title? And is the fact that he's become quasi-mortal now gotten him back on the hero track? Is that what you don't think so at all?
Not in the hero track. He may be less of a villain, but he certainly doesn't strike me in a hero-esque kind of way. I never saw him as a hero anywhere. I saw him as a great golfer. When I think of a hero in sports, he would never be the guy that came to mind.
Okay, so I'm going to name some guys, and you tell me whether you believe they're heroes or villains. And they have to be one of the two.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. Tiger Woods.
Villain.
Michael Jordan.
Hero.
Kobe Bryant.
Villain.
Tell me the difference between Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant is known as...
I don't see much.
Well, I guess the one thing that would be the difference... Well, to me, Jordan was heroic because Jordan pretty much ushered in one of the greatest eras of the NBA. Kobe, was arrested for, it was the whole Denver rape thing and was selfish and immature. And he's someone who's probably gone more from a villain to a hero. To me, I always see things I see athletes in gray. It's hard for me to see them as black and white. And with and just as I said, Jordan, started off as a hero, probably could have been more as a villain in regards to the suspension or the retirement, whatever you want to call it. We all think it is what it is. And Kobe's probably gone from more of a villain to a hero as he's matured from being an 18-year-old, schmuck, to a 35-year-old, 36-year-old grizzled veteran who is still kind of a ball hog, but is incredibly well-respected.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think the fact that Kobe played in the 2000s and 2010s, the '10 or whatever you want to call it, and the fact that Jordan played in the 90s has anything to do with your revelation that one is a hero and one is a villain?
Absolutely. You can't even the turn of the millennium in regards to media is so the amount of access between Twitter and Facebook and all these 8,000 blogs, not of course Back Sports Page because we're not a blog, but just had to throw that little plug in. But it was not it wasn't even in the same ballpark as what Jordan went through in the mid 80s and the early 90s. Jordan would have been decimated by the press. And because remember, people don't print on fact anymore. They just print for the sake of printing. And I'm not saying they're all journalists and they're all legitimate. I'm not. But Jordan, I mean, if it was a forced quote unquote retirement or suspension or whatever you want to call it, it was a much better chance it would have come out if it had happened 10 years later than now, than in 1993.
I'm of the agreement that Jordan, of all the people in sports from our lifetime, went from villain to hero and back to villain. I think he was a villain when he got Doug Collins fired. Incredibly a villain. I think Magic was a villain when he got Paul Westphal fired. I have a hard time when you're a 20 or 22-year-old kid that commands that much. If you're 35, it's a little bit different, but you're 22-year-old, got some growing up to do, and I really think that Jordan, more than anybody, you talk about Kobe being a ball hog. Nobody was a bigger ball hog than Michael Jordan in his first 3 years in the league.
That is true. Kobe does it 15 years later. Jordan
right.
does and it when his, when his when his second best player was Orlando Woolridge.
I'd like to know I guess Paul Gasol was his second best player last year. Or Dwight Allen. Yeah, I see your point. I definitely see your point. But he also had Smush Parker as his backcourt mate 1 year, too. So, I mean, there's that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. You hit it on the head. The fact that the media is so ingrained in our sports society at this point that's where the hero and – I mean, Babe Ruth would have been a villain today with the philandering that he did.
Well, let me ask you something. In this generation, who's a hero? Michael Phelps has the pot issues. Derek Jeter deals with, you know, all the bad press he got in regards to the women and the stuff that he's pulled over the years. You know, and these are, I mean, Mariano Rivera is a hero, but he's, for all intents and purposes, he's a saint.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Well, I was going to bring up Mariano Rivera, so.
Yeah, so who is a hero?
It is very hard to be one of the good guys anymore in sports.
I mean, Adrian Peterson comes off as a hero in that he gets
Peyton
injured
Manning
and he comes
and Eli,
back.
Peyton and Eli come off as heroes. Tom Brady comes off as a hero.
Well, to some people, he's the ultimate villain. To me, there's nothing. You know, what has he done? He's won 3 titles with mediocre teams, and married the hottest woman in the world.
That's the other question. Is it related to how good you really are?
Well, you can't be a hero if you don't have the potential to be a villain.
Right, I agree with that.
You know,
you can't
they're
be
not
a villain unless you. I don't think you can be, unless you've done something so astronomically bad, you can't be a villain without the same potential of being a hero.
Yeah. Have we talked sports at all?
I mean, you could say Ron Artest was a villain.
Yes.
When he went into the Indiana crowd. You could say he's a villain. And he didn't have the potential of being a hero back then. But he was a villain. You could say Dennis Rodman with the Bad Boys was, and Bill Laimbeer even more so, had the potential to be a villain. It's a whole lot easier to be a villain than a hero, because a villain is one mistake. A hero is a lifetime of purity. But can you become a hero after being a villain? I mean, is Cal Ripken a hero? I think in the sports world he is.
In the sports world he is. Yeah. There's no reason to think otherwise. You know, you did nothing wrong unless you consider punching out Kevin Costner.
That's Kevin Costner. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, you have Keith Hernandez who snorted cocaine. Most people don't even remember that. You have Paul Molitor who snorted cocaine. He's in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, baseball does not have a morals clause. Also, Ty Cobb and Tris Seeger wouldn't be in there. But why is it that A-Rod or Ryan Braun are getting so much more publicity than Everett Cabrera or Nelson Cruz or Johnny Peralta, who are all also banned? Why are they considered, oh, well, they can come back at the end of the season because it was no big deal? And you look at Ryan Braun and A-Rod, where they're prized. Why? Why is there a difference between any of them?
Because nobody cares about Johnny Peralta or Nelson Cruz or Everett Cabrera. You know, Ryan Braun was won an MVP 2 years ago, which was almost overturned because of a drug test. Look at how they tried to get out of it. You know, Ryan Braun 2 years ago was the first person to have a drug test overturned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, swears like he's Rafael Palmeiro, that he is not, you know, that he knows nothing about this. Well, 2 years later, he gets caught. A-Rod, you know, swears he'll never do it again, yada, yada, gets caught again. People will accept failures from people when they're apologetic. And it's thought of as truthful. Nobody really thinks that Braun or, you know, these guys who are made up to be so heroic have acted in this capacity. So it'll be harder for them to forgive. Braun has a better chance. A-Rod also makes comments that you just shake your head at. And, you know, he plays... It's a terrible shame, but you know, no one's really gonna. I mean, who is gonna? I don't even remember who the other six players are that were suspended. You know, I know Nelson Cruz because I know that's why Texas picked up Alex Rios. You know, I kind of know who Everett Cabrera is, but the, you know, they're not. You know, they're not major names. I know who Jesus Montero is because the Yankees had him and traded him for Michael Pineda, which may have been the most useless trade on both sides in the history of trades. But nobody, if you're not big, nobody cares.
Well, I guess that's the question. So if you're not big, you can't be a villain.
Probably not, unless you're something like Ray Caruth.
Right.
But I think we're not talking in that capacity.
And we're not going there because
no.
I have no desire nor sustenance in my stomach to talk about Ray Caruth and what he did. That just doesn't go with me. So you think that Ryan? So let's get back to this. You think Ryan Braun has a chance to resurrect his career?
Sure. Why not? But what
well,
do you
I think it's
resurrected?
Changed.
Resurrected
I think
in regards
changed.
To what?
Public opinion.
No. He will be forever the guy that probably BS'd his way out of an initial drug suspension, won a tainted MVP because of it, and then got suspended 2 years later, and is paying very little for it. You know, at the end of the day. When we were talking about this, or I was talking with someone else about this, and I said, you know, that's great that they suspended him and all that jazz, but I would happily do this stuff for $130 million also. And I would. Can't blame him.
No, I'm with that, but let me ask you this, and this has been bandied about the internet and radio talk shows. Do you think Bud Selig would rather have his top guys, a couple of top guys, Ryan Braun, Nelson Cruz, Everett Cabrera, Alex Rodriguez, caught with drugs or just the minor leaguers, or just the guys hanging on, like the other seven players caught with drugs, so you can say, hey, our superstars aren't doing it. Which one do you think he'd rather have?
I think he'd have rather have one superstar, because if he wants to bring this to the forefront, and you hear that Mike Trout wants a lifetime suspension for anyone caught, and this and that, the other thing, you can only do that when there's a superstar that's brought, that where there's an issue. There's no, if it's the Ever Cabreras of the world, no one cares. They don't. Or maybe in Detroit they care.
Nobody, mean Johnny Peralta in Detroit.
Johnny Peralta, I'm sorry. Outside of Detroit, who cares about Johnny Peralta? Nobody.
Well, my fantasy league kind of cares about him, but other than that,
Your fantasy people care, but I mean that's not really where we're going with this discussion.
None of my fantasy. By the way, thanks to all the members of my league that wouldn't take Johnny Peralta the week before he was suspended. I really appreciate you now taking that train. Thanks. Anyway, that would have been your Magic Johnson, Clyde Drexler trade.
Yeah.
So, except for the fact that I knew he was getting suspended. But I agree with you. I think that, and this was in a lot of disagreement on both, as I said, the internet, Twitter, and radio talk shows this past weekend, where most of the fans and most of the callers and most of the writers were saying, Bud Selig would love to have said, you know what, it's not our superstars using PEDs, it's just the guys that are hanging on, and that way we don't have a problem. And to me, there is only one reason, well, I won't say one, but I'll say just predominantly one reason why there is no gambling in Major League Baseball. Because nine members of the World Championship 1919 White Sox got thrown out of baseball permanently. And when you can throw out the world champions out of baseball permanently, you kind of are setting a precedent here, where if you do this, you're gone. Done. We're finished with you. And I think that if, like you said, if Bud Selig wanted to set precedent, this is the way to do it, with the superstars, not with the minor leaguers, not with the hangers-on. I am fully on board with Bud Selig on this case. And I agree. I don't agree with Mike Trout. Do you agree with one and done?
No, because I don't. The problem is the examples. There are the random examples. There was, I think, was it Freddie Sanchez or one of the guys where they got him on like foot medicine.
Yeah, it was Freddie Galvez. Yep.
Okay, whoever. And you don't want someone's career ending on that. And, you're not, it's not like you're taking 37 supplements where you should know to be careful. You're taking a foot medicine for athlete's foot. I mean, who's going to know that? So I'm not sure what the right answer is. I don't mind after a second time there being a lifetime suspension. But
I guess that's the next question. How often, let's take away Ryan Braun, how often do you really think two times will come into play?
Well, hopefully it'll be the scare tactic necessary. If you wanted to do 50 games a season career, I have no issue with that. Then there's the people, but then the problem, there's no right answer to this, and that's the problem. Because you're never going to catch everybody. You're never going to, half the people who take them are going to deny it, or are going to have some extenuating circumstance. It's a very, very difficult situation. It's a very, very difficult decision. I'm not the world's biggest Bud Selig fan, but I don't know how this should be handled. I don't think there's a definitive right answer. Do you?
I definitely don't think that there's an absolute right answer. I mean, nobody's going to be in agreement with everything, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You're definitely not going to agree with everything I say, and I'm certainly not going to agree with everything you say. I like you, have a very hard time with one and done. Look, everybody deserves a second chance in life, in baseball, in everything. You are permitted a second chance. And I think that that's important to keep going. This is the concept of second chance. But if you get to a point where you are using them twice, now, here's the problem with A-Rod, is he never got proven that he did it once. So this is still under the drug, according to Bud Selig, this is his second time. According to him, you guys never caught me the first time. So that's where the dichotomy goes here. But, endorse a two and done. I fully endorse if you sell it to somebody else, you're done. I mean, I fully endorse, quite frankly, what Bud Selig tried to do is Alex Rodriguez obstructed justice or obstructed an investigation. That should be meritable offense to be done. I have no problem with him suspending Alex Rodriguez indefinitely. None. But I do have a problem with him doing it without due process. So, unlike Ryan Braun, who took the suspension, I think A-Rod's absolutely right in demanding some form of due process. Now, so A-Rod's a villain, right? Let's take this full circle. So A-Rod's the villain, but nobody,
yes.
And your concept is that nobody cares about Nelson Cruz. So the fact that he's not the A1 superstar, he won't be portrayed like that for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
While A-Rod and the Hammer and Hebe, Ryan Braun, will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's pretty legit.
Do you think that would play for the other sports as well? Because it certainly doesn't play in the NFL.
No. The NFL is a different beast, though. The NFL, it doesn't play. You have your 4-game suspension, then you have your year. But the NFL is such a physically taxing game. I'm not justifying it, but I understand it a heck of a lot more. The NBA, physically taxing game. NHL, physically taxing. Baseball is not a physically taxing game. It takes an extraordinary talent. I'm not trying to diminish it, but
you don't think it's physically taxing on a pitcher to throw 100 times?
For pitcher, yes. For hitters, no.
I mean, it's much more than 100 times by the time everything's said and done.
No, I understand.
200 times.
Yes, yes. Although very rarely do you see players that look like Rick Rushel in the other major sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Rushel was a pitcher from the late 70s, early 80s that played for Pittsburgh, the Yankees, and the Cubs. And once led the league in ERA. Are you talking about Rick Rushel or Rick Rowe?
Rick Rushel. Rick Rushel,
okay.
He also played for the Giants, I believe. He was a slightly big
correct.
Man. Would you prefer that I go with Sid Fernandez?
Or Prince Fielder?
Yeah.
Or you were looking for a pitcher, right? So look at CC Sabathia.
Yeah. So regardless.
No, I get what you're saying. There are not very many big men, what you would consider linemen in Major League Baseball. John Kruchish people in baseball. I get what you're saying. But you think that it's a reasonable, valid rationale for a player to use performance-enhancing drugs in sports
where
there's more physicality.
Yeah, I'm not justifying it, but I think I have a better understanding of the necessity of it. When you're a lineman getting hit 70 times a game, 16 games a season, plus you know, thousands, hundreds of practices. I have to imagine the physical ailments on it.
Wait a second. Hundreds of practices, really?
Whatever. Well, let's see. How often do you practice?
How about 13? 13 practices from the start of the season to the end of the season. 13 in pad practices for the season. That's it.
How about in preseason?
I think they're allowed 10 or 12 in the preseason, training camp included. It's not the two-a-days that we once heard about from Green Bay. I mean,
I understand.
The collective bargaining agreement severely limits the amount of practices these guys go through. And that's not the point, though. I mean, the point is, you believe, and you're not justifying it, but you believe it's more readily accepted because they go through a physical punishment as opposed to just running out to the outfield.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, I think that nationwide and even worldwide, that is a very valid conclusion. I think I actually think it's highly accepted. I think people overlook a PED use in the NFL without a problem. But I also think they do it because PEDs are so – have PEDs and drug suspensions, the NFL took the lead on them and was never behind. Well, in baseball, all they've been doing is trying to catch up. I think that the NFL – realized this was a problem and said, we're going to put a stop to it. While baseball said, baseball waited it for it to be a monstrosity and then said, oops, we better do something about it. I think that's why it's more readily accepted. And four games is a lot of I think baseball has finally come up to a suspension where it means something as opposed to when it used to be 10 games. Which meant nothing. So, I definitely think that we have gotten to the point where baseball, the 50 games is a reasonable time frame for players to be out, to be actually missed, while 10 games was two turns in a rotation. Now, do you think that this is prevalent in the NBA?
Not particularly. I think they have a different drug of choice.
Pot.
What'd you say?
Yes. I said pot.
Oh.
Marijuana.
Yeah. Of course.
Smoking a doobie.
Did you really call it a doobie?
I did.
Wow. Way to go, Eagles
smoking
fan, 1978.
Smoking a J?
That's how I used to call it. Not that I would ever condone smoking pot on the public airwaves, but no, that's from many years ago. But yeah, I mean, that's the drug of choice.
We at the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show do not endorse the use of alcohol, tobacco, illegal.
No, we endorse the use of alcohol, just as long as
only if you're 21 or over.
Only if you're 21 or over.
But we do not endorse PEDs or illegal illicit drugs.
There you go. So, on that note, what a weird show. We've talked for 50 minutes, and we've actually really not talked about sports.
Because sometimes, you know what? You know, sports takes a backseat to life.
That is true.
I'm pondering here. But it really does. And in this case, I really think that is part of this summer's – if you talk about 2013 summer – I think the majority of it would come up with, if you took a sampling of all websites, I think the majority of it would be PEDs, one way or another. I think it's the story of the summer. And I think that will continue because A-Rod's arbitration won't be heard until November. So he's probably going to play out the entire year to a series of boos.
You know what's been great the last 3 weeks? You know who we have not mentioned once?
Aaron Hernandez?
Dwight Howard.
Well, Aaron Hernandez, I believe, was last mentioned on my show like when I did that show alone. So, well, we will be returning to the Aaron Hernandez and Dwight Howard sagas shortly enough.
Yeah.
With the football preview next week, we'll be talking Patriots.
Actually, we've had a request for a fourth to join us on our hosting the show next week. One of our old friends, Matt from Deloitte, has requested to join us for the fantasy football show next week.
Absolutely.
So we will have four people, it looks like, on our show to talk fantasy football. So we'll have to organize that. Should be a good.
So we'll have to worry how to deal with this. We've never actually had four people doing the show. We'll probably have two of us on a couple of positions and two of us on other positions. I think that would probably divide it better, and then we'll go around the horn, maybe a round table discussion about some subjects.
Sounds good. I'm thinking that may be
the best way to do it. Yeah, I'm thinking that's been, so next week we're going to have four people. The week after we're going to have two people, one not being me, although I may call in and talk about Oregon football with Nabate House. And then the week after we're going to have no people, but we will have either a recorded or we will have it a different day with our preview for the NFL. Which probably won't be much different than our fantasy football preview, but we'll see what happens.
It'll be a lot longer.
And then we have the NFL starting that Thursday with with Baltimore taking on, I think it's Denver, aren't they, in game one?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure. It's over a month away. It's almost a month away, so I haven't really given it too much thought yet. Couple sports notes. Not of the really good capacity. Hugh Douglas fired from ESPN for starting a fight with Michael Smith.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot going on in the media more than there has been on the field in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I don't know what that fight was about.
No, but Michael Smith, one of the best, as most of you know, I'm not the world's biggest fan of ESPN, but Michael Smith, although I don't watch him, I don't watch his show, I think is extremely knowledgeable. So if you're going to let go of one of the two, you're not going to get let go of Michael Smith. Adam Jones having a banana thrown at him in San Francisco. What was interesting was usually the people are trying to hide it. The guy admits it. And says,
but he also said he didn't mean to do it for that reason.
Yeah, he just did it as a reflection of his disgust with the team. Didn't even put two and two together. I'm not quite sure how you wouldn't have thought of that. But
first of all, who throws a banana on the field?
Well, that's it. I mean, where do you go from there? I mean, of all things to throw, you're throwing a banana and you don't think that there's going to be a racial overtone to that? Really?
Well, I'll tell you, if I picked up a banana and threw it, I probably wouldn't have thought there was a racial overtone to start. I'll tell you, quite frankly, let me ask you this. What if it wasn't Adam Jones in center field and it was Nick Markakis? So you got three Caucasians in the outfield. The guy throws a banana. Do we have the same outcry?
No. But when you're throwing it at someone who is African-American.
Agreed. But what I'm saying is perhaps he didn't even know Jones was in center field.
Yeah. Oh, no. It very well could be true that he just didn't realize.
I mean, I think that's a very plausible situation because, quite frankly, why on earth do you come out and say I did it if you really meant to do it like that?
Yeah.
That, to me, is the thing that makes no sense. So I actually buy his rationale. I mean, look, if there are three Caucasians in center in the outfield, we don't have this problem. We don't have this issue. So I'm fully on board with, look, I don't know the guy at all, but I think that's a reasonably plausible explanation considering the banana costs 50 cents and the pretzel probably costs $7. I mean, you are in Pac-Bell Park. So, I mean, that's just something that I would think. So we got about 5 minutes left. You want to hit your EPL stuff?
Yeah, I'll do it quick.
Because I'm anxiously interested in knowing who you're going to predict to win the EPL Cup
I know it's really contingent to me on one thing, where Wayne Rooney ends up. The Man U striker wants to go to Chelsea. Man U is not letting him go. There are really three teams you're looking at for the title: Man U, Chelsea, and Man City. I am going to very, very reluctantly stick with Man U. Even with a new coach and David Moyes replacing Alex Ferguson, Man City should be better this year. They were as bad a second-place team as you can imagine last year. Chelsea with a special one. Jose Mourinho comes back. Arsenal, for the 3,000th straight year, makes the number four, and so they all go to the Champions League. Tottenham falls back a little bit because they're going to have to sell Gareth Bale for 100 million. I think it's like 120 million euros to Real Madrid.
What?
Which, oh, yeah. 130, 120. The player of the year
for
Tottenham.
How much money is that in dollars? Hold on.
$80 million. And
wait,
Tottenham is so
million,
good.
80?
Yeah.
Wait, 120 million?
Euros. 133, I think, was the top bid. And for some reason, Tottenham is still not letting him go.
That is the equivalent to 1, 2, 3.
Are we really waiting on you to do math?
$159 million.
There you go. So it's actually,
wait,
I think it was
$159 million they sold a player for?
No, it's 133 million euros was the highest number that I've seen. And I think you're probably doing it the reverse. And Tottenham still has an exception.
No, 1 euro equals $1.33.
Well, no, it's
130. Yeah.
3 million euros. So it's 1.33 euros equals $1.
Wait, you said 130 million euros. Are you saying 30 million euros?
No, I'm saying 130.
130 million euros. 1, 2, 3. That equals $172 million.
Then I'm doing it wrong. Let me see if I can bring it up.
You sure it's not pounds?
Is England on the euro?
They're on the pounds.
Then I apologize.
Okay.
On the pounds.
Let me find that then. Go ahead. Continue on.
So, I'm just looking. I'm trying to find what the transfer fee is for Gareth Bale. And people talking about the craziness of LeBron, you're talking $100 million for a transfer. So I think they fall back a little bit. Liverpool moves up. I think the three teams, and the way the EPL works is the top three teams from the league below move up, the bottom three teams from the top league move down. So I think my beloved Fulham will drop, as will Hull and Crystal Palace. So that's my prediction. And Robin Van Persie will be the player of the year.
Okay, you keep looking this up because I can't really – I keep finding 130 million.
I'll look it up. You
this
do
is
your
David
final.
Lutz?
No, David Lutz is
David
Luiz. David Luiz is Chelsea.
Guy?
David Luiz is Chelsea. No, you go do what you got to do. You have
right.
a minute
I'm
and a half.
I'm still really confused as to how much damn money these guys get, or how much they're worth, considering that it costs Dempsey $8 million just to go play with Seattle. But that's just me. Anyway, moving on from that, my last second-ditch effort of some normality here in the Seth and Chuan Sports Radio Show, Curtis Malone, and this is what's AAU basketball has a rationale to it. It's to grow players so they can go to the college level. And they can grow both personally and obviously in basketball. And here is Curtis Malone, who is the stepfather of Nolan Smith, was arrested at his home Friday, where DEA agents say that they found 1 kilo of cocaine, 100 grams of suspected heroin, a handgun, and unnamed items associated with heroin sales. Are you kidding me? This is the guy that we should be looking at? This is the guy we should... Whoa! Okay, 105 million euro? That's what we're looking at here, 105 million euro. And I already did that. That's about $160 million for a player.
There you go.
Okay, on that ridiculous notion, we're going to say goodbye because I'm going to go start playing some soccer because I'm sure that the EPL could use, by the time I'm good enough, maybe a 45-year-old guy that maybe can go for maybe €1 million. So for Seth Kamens, this has been Sean Palmer. Next week, Matt Goldberg? No. Matt Block, right?
Matt Block, yeah.
Matt Block, Sean Palmer, Seth Kamens, and Kevin Skarak on the Fantasy Football Preview. Catch you next week. See ya.
Bye, everybody.